Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
More people are texting their tariff bills, sending photos of them. I haven't seen it show up on a bill that I've been given, although I think if I've ordered anything online, it's probably been through Amazon. Pawan Joshi is the CSO at supply chain platform E2Open. Thanks for joining us. You have some insight on what's happening with the tariffs. Is it surprising to you that so many people would have a gift arrive at their door and then be handed an additional bill, a tariff bill? Had you heard about these, Pawan?
There have been some occasions, yes, where these have been presented. Thanks for the opportunity, Lisa. Great to be on. This has been a confusing time, right? Depending on what you're buying and from whom you're buying, the way in which tariffs have been passed over to the end consumer have been all over the place. But there have been occasions where, in addition to, you know, your delivery and the payment of what you paid for the product, you have been handed over, you know, some additional amount, especially if you've actually brought something in that was imported.
Yeah, we got a note from somebody who bought something from Canada for $66. They paid the shipping and handling, but when UPS delivered it to their door, they were handed an additional bill for $33, saying it needed to be paid by check or they would not leave the package. And I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what I was kind of alluding to, that with the expiration of the de minimis fee around imports coming in, below a certain amount, this has become very common, right? And if you're not careful around where you've ordered your product from, this would absolutely be something that you'll have to pay as a part of, you know, releasing the product and taking control of it.
I think a lot of people are thinking, okay, it's just happening because it's Christmas, but is this something we can expect to carry on into the new year?
100%. I think this is less to do with the time of the year. This has got to do with how the trade and the new structure of how tariffs are applied. There was a period of time, very long period of time, where goods under a certain value were exempt from tariffs around imports. That has gone away, and as a result, anything that's coming in has to have the tariff paid by the end consumer that's importing it in.
And now that people are feeling it, they're seeing it, they're hearing about it, is your anticipation is that consumer spending patterns are going to change? They're going to stay the same, or are people going to pull back and not spend as much?
I think consumer spending is pretty complex, right? There are many factors that play into it. I think the biggest factor that's playing into it is really the larger macroeconomic conditions, not just within the U.S., but outside of the U.S. as well. So there tends to be, you know, a tale of two economies these days, where the rich and the affluent continue to spend, at their regular pace. And the people that cannot afford, you know, their day-to-day stuff are feeling the pinch. So, yes, tariffs do play a role in that. I think comes back to, again, what kind of products you buy, where they are coming in from. But we will see some of those holdbacks for certain segments of the population around products and their regular consumption patterns. Whereas others, you know, tend to continue to move forward. So it really is, if you think about the last couple of months and you look at the next few quarters, I think it'll continue to be a tale of two economies.
And the tariffs are based on what country they're being imported from as opposed to the category, or do both of that, the category and the location, have impact?
Both of those apply. In fact, it gets a little more complex, right? It's not just the category of the product that's coming in. It's not only the country that it is coming in from. It is also what that particular product is brought in. What does it go into, right? And is there a free trade agreement or a treaty between those two countries? A good example of this is, you know, aluminum and steel have a certain tariff pattern coming in from Canada or Mexico. But if they're actually going into components that go into automotive, that gets subjected to the USMCA, which is a treaty between North America, USA, and Canada, because of which, you know, you don't apply the regular level of tariffs. So there is it is pretty complex, and it is way more complex than it was, you know, prior to some of these tariffs kicking in earlier this year.
And you're in the supply chain platform business, so it has to be completely bonkers for you and your staff to try and keep up with everything to make sure you address your clients' needs, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, we serve some of the largest customers, clients in the world. And, you know, the global 5,000 tend to be our customers. And they are involved in all parts of the supply chain, not only in making products, but also selling products, as well as moving products, right? Some of the largest forwarders and the largest carriers in the world, some of the largest brand owners, and as well as some of the largest distributors and retailers. And you can imagine different kinds of impacts across the board on all of them. The biggest challenge with supply chain tends to be uncertainty, right? We want to have stable supply chains. We want to have stable ways of products and trade lanes. Any instability that is caused by, you know, weather patterns or geopolitical stuff or tariffs in this particular case leads to uncertainty, leads to rewiring of the supply chain where every three of these stakeholders, you know, get impacted in different ways. So for us, it is a question of helping our customers understand better what their demand patterns are, given, you know, what you alluded to, consumption and consumer patterns changing, where they're going to emerge from, what it looks like. So it starts off with understanding demand, making sure that the supply side is aligned better. Again, tariffs play a role. Which countries should you be sourcing products from and how you should be sourcing and when you should be sourcing. And then at the end of the day, get better cooperation between, you know, the partners in that supply chain, you know, whether they're suppliers, whether they're retailers, distributors that brand owners rely on to bring products to market and sell them. That's all super important. And at the end of the day, if you're coming back to the tariffs as a topic of discussion, it's all about how do you actually estimate the total landed cost of a product, not just in terms of what it costs you to produce it, what it costs you to move it from where it was made to where it is being sold, but also any additional tariffs that were applied to it as it crossed the borders, what free trade agreements it could have leveraged, and what country it came from and where it is going to. So it's a very, very complex environment right now for us. And, you know, we are honored and privileged to be able to provide these services to some of the largest brands in the world.
Yeah. So as the businesses that you take care of have to change their expectations and the way they do business, I think consumers are going to have to change their expectations of shipping times and tariff fees because it's arriving at our front door, so to speak.
Absolutely. I think some of our consumption patterns have to change. And we saw some of the, not at this scale, but at a much larger scale during COVID, right? Where our ways of consuming and what we consumed and from where we consumed and how we consumed it changed. I think you'll see that pattern emerge here, right? Tariffs in general are put in place to promote local businesses and local economies. And you'll see some of that stuff, you know, coming up. But tariffs also have a bidirectional impact in the sense that if I actually impose a tariff on a certain country for products coming in from that country, my products going out of my country into those countries also get affected. So there is an import-export rebalance. So what tends to happen is these tariffs net result is higher prices for products that are coming in, but also encouraging local products to actually go up. So it's a pretty complex way of actually balancing production around the world, but it also has, you know, undesired consequences as well. Sometimes if you're a more export oriented economy, putting tariffs in to promote to restrict imports tends to have a backward an undesired impact on the export side, and that's really what we need to guard against. But at the end of the day, what really matters, going back to the point I was making earlier, is if there is stability around some of these, you know, levels and timings of tariffs, it allows supply chains to rewire themselves and get to a new normal. The question really here is we need a larger period of time than a few months or a few weeks to react to some of these and get to the new normal.
Absolutely.
But that's the nature of the game here.
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate the opportunity.